From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
So our next guest, we caught up with him last in May. A lot really has happened since then. Great to have back with us Tom Siebel, founder, chairman, CEO at C3 AI. Ticker of the company is AI, founder of Siebel Systems, which was sold to Oracle back in 06. Tom, also author of the book Digital Transformation, Survive and Thrive in an Era of Mass Extinction. He joins us on the phone from California. Hey, Tom, good to have you back with us. How are you?
Hi, Carol. I'm great. Nice to hear from you.
Well, it's nice to have you here and hear your voice. I got to ask you, I want to get into a lot of things about what your company's doing, talk to you about AI, but I got to ask you about this headline that just crossed about hackers saying that they exposed Tesla and some jails in a breach of 150,000 security cameras. They said they wanted to show prevalence of surveillance. We are definitely living in different times.
Well, I think the threat associated with cyber threat, okay, from bad actors and nation states, including Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, is existential. I mean, these people have the ability to shut down the United States grid, power grid infrastructure, the financial system, the healthcare system, you know, with a cell phone from the other side of the planet, and they can do it tomorrow. I mean, this has been very, very well documented in books that have been recently published, such as The Perfect Weapon, and This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends. And this is very, very serious stuff. That last week, the National Security Commission for Artificial Intelligence published its report 4 years in the making, then concludes that today the United States government is not organized or investing to win the technology competition against a committed competitor, nor is it prepared to defend against AI-enabled threats and rapidly adopt AI applications for national security purposes. We are exposed. There are bad actors out there, and this is very scary.
Well, you know, it just reminds me of, it's like, I've seen this movie before. We saw it in the form of the health pandemic. Lots of warnings for years, and yet we weren't prepared. And I feel like we're setting up for something like that again. And I have to say, I'm reading this story, and they say they breached massive trove of security camera data collected by a Silicon Valley startup, Verkada. They gained access to live feeds of 150,000 security cameras inside hospitals, companies, police departments, prisons, and schools, able to view video from inside women's health clinics, psychiatric hospitals, and the offices of this company, Verkada, itself. And they were using, in some cases, some of these cameras, including in hospitals, were using facial recognition technology to identify and categorize people captured on the footage. I think about this. You are so in on the AI world. You talk about us not being prepared for, listen, there's great things to be had by it, but there's also a downside. We're not ready for it or not prepared for it.
When you get into cybersecurity and InfoSec, this is just very scary stuff. I mean, the Chinese went into the Office of Personnel Management in Washington, D.C., and it walked off with like 20 million records of everybody that's ever been considered for a security clearance. I mean, the Russians, okay, were in there within the last month, and nobody's even telling the story of how thoroughly they penetrated the United States government. I mean, the emperor has no clothes, This is not on the national agenda, and this is existential. If these people are to turn off the U.S. power grid, which they could do in a second,
right,
9 out of 10 people in the United States die. So this makes the whole COVID pandemic look like a common cold, you know, compared to, I mean, this is very, very serious stuff. This is existential stuff, and it's not on the national agenda.
Yeah, it says another video shot inside the Tesla warehouse in Shanghai shows workers on an assembly line. Hackers said they obtained access to 222 cameras in Tesla factories and warehouses. Well, this is your world. You're having conversations with people who are tapping into and working with you guys. You provide, you know, enterprise AI software. Is anybody kind of aware of how to do this in a responsible way? I mean, this is your world. We've just got about 30 seconds, Tom, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Yeah, I would say the organizations that are most equipped, okay, and have the greatest levels of security as it relates to AI and cybersecurity are the banks. I mean, these guys have security regimens where their information systems are completely air-gapped. They're tested. They have security protocols that are incredibly rigorous. Whether you're dealing with the U.S. banks or the European banks, these people have done a superlative job, and the people in the United States government could go to school on that. They look like, you know, candidly, they look like Cub Scouts compared to the way the banks handle information security.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
You've been kind enough to indulge us as we were breaking down these headlines on this major hack. You know, listen, Tom, you've been in the technology world for a long time. You've seen it evolve. It's gotten much more sophisticated. It's got a lot more invasive. It's gotten a lot more useful. And it's such a part of everything that we do. AI specifically, talk to us about kind of what's front and center right now in terms of where it's going, who's using it, where it's going to be the most productive.
Well, leading corporations around the world are using AI in smart analytics, precision medicine, aerospace, manufacturing, telecommunications, banking, and they're using AI to deliver better products and services, to deliver safer, cleaner, more reliable energy. They're using AI to secure data assets from cybersecurity attacks. They're using AI in defense and intelligence. This is the largest. This is, you know, we look at enterprise AI software. This is a third of a $1 trillion market in, say, 2024. So this is the largest growing enterprise application software market in history. Okay, and we serve all segments of that industry, from banking to telco to healthcare to government.
Listen, so give me AI for dummies, because I feel like we throw around, certainly not you, but we throw around the term artificial intelligence a lot. And I think people have a grasp of it, but I don't think they understand, especially as you go through that list of basically our world, to be quite fair, whether it's military, whether it's, you know, medical, whether it's energy, where the use of AI is making things so much better. What is the AI for dummies, if you had to explain it to somebody?
Great question. Okay, so AI, and so when you strip away all the mystique and all the noise, AI is an area that we call predictive analytics, where we're able, due to kind of advances in information technology, to solve problems that never been able to solve before, where we can predict things before they happen very accurately. Heart failure, okay, diabetes, okay, a failure of a transformer in New York City, okay, the failure of a jet engine. So we can predict these events, or the failure of a critical piece of equipment on an offshore oil rig, say for Royal Dutch Shell, where we can predict these events, you know, say days or months in advance, and replace the transformer in New York City and prevent the electricity outage. Okay, intervene clinically and prevent the heart failure. Okay, do some intervention on the machine and prevent the aircraft failure before it fails. In a nutshell, that's what enterprise AI is all about, is predictive analytics, and that is accurately predicting events before they happen, and we're able to do that today with very high levels of precision.
Well, and when it comes to something like healthcare, listen, we have all been obsessed with our healthcare because our lives depended on it in the last year, and understanding, we all got, I think, safe to say, somewhat smarter in understanding how vaccines are developed and the complications of, you know, a virus and all these things. When it comes to healthcare specifically, you talk about AI, like we can predict heart failure. I mean, is this an area that we have yet to explore in a big way when it comes to AI?
Yes, I think this is a field where we apply AI to healthcare. This is what we call precision medicine.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the largest commercial application of AI. And for example, we can take the genome sequences and the healthcare records of, say, the population of the United States or any population, okay, and apply machine learning algorithms to these data and predict with very high levels of precision who is going to be diagnosed with what disease, okay, in the next 5 years, heart disease, lung cancer, whatever it might be, and then intervene clinically and avoid the diagnosis. Well, you combine that with telemedicine to reach previously unserved members of the community, and the economic and social benefit of this is staggering. Then you have genome-specific medical protocols, where we have tailored medical protocols to the individual genome, which are going to be much more highly efficacious,
right,
at a much lower cost. So these are examples of AI applied to medicine. This will be, again, the largest application of AI in any field.
It's funny. I feel like you're tying up our show so well, because earlier we talked with the CEO of Pacific Biosciences, who is involved in that sequencing, genetic sequencing. So it's wonderful how you've tied it up. But okay, it sounds so promising. Help me out here, though. Then why isn't the community moving, maybe the healthcare community, moving more rapidly towards embracing it? And I'm going to be fair here. I hope you'll see it that way. Your stock's down a lot. Like, what is it that investors aren't getting about the subject if it's so promising, or about your company that's so promising?
Well, our company went public last December. We priced the stock at 42. I think it's trading at about 90 today.
That's fair.
So, with all due respect, I think the company's doing quite well.
But why the pullback? Is it just kind of giving you guys some space here, or what?
I think that, I don't pretend to understand capital markets, and, that's not my business. We're just building a company, and the stock price will take care of itself. But I think that, if we look at the leaders in healthcare, whether it's CDC, whether it's NIH, we look at Cerner, United Healthcare, these people are very, very focused on precision medicine and applying AI to the medical process to deliver, more efficacious, more readily available, lower cost medicine, and the result will be a healthier population that lives longer. And so there are many organizations focused on this in a big way, massive amounts of research taking place, and a lot of this is being led by, as it relates to COVID, by what we call the C3 AI Digital Transformation Institute, which is an effort that we did with Microsoft and MIT, mm-hmm, and Berkeley and Princeton and Carnegie Mellon and others, who are doing very, very advanced research in applying AI to understand pandemic and course of disease and drug discovery and what have you. So there's massive amounts of research going on in this area.
Yeah, it feels like it's just such a world that just continues to open up. Hey, Tom, thank you so much. Always appreciate it. Tom Siebel is founder, chairman, and CEO at C3 AI. And to be fair, the stock did IPO at 42. And as Tom mentioned, it has more than doubled from that amount. So good to get that in there.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.